remember back when we was broke. Was on our backs, put our backs against the ropes. With no one to call on and no real place to go. So I don't ask no more, so tired of hearing no. Now the shit is lit like a stove. Now they gotta give me what they owe.
Cody, what's going on, man? Long week, man.
Long week. I feel you. But we gotta get through, man. So listen, man, this vibe, this Philly vibe right now, is something serious. Like, it's feeling good. Like, all our sports teams, we seem to be thriving at the same time. It's a good feeling. We just got Deshaun Jackson back. How you feeling about that?
Yeah, just in recent weeks, it's just been a lot of, like, energy. In addition to the Sixers, just with Harper, I think 2 weeks ago, and now Deshaun Jackson deciding to come back to Philly with a trade from the Bucks. It seemed like they kind of just did him a solid and traded him back to his original city. When was he drafted? I'm going to look that up. Just kind of as a whim.
I think 2008. 2008. I believe he said that in his
press conference. For Cal, right? Today. Yeah.
Yeah. 2008. He said he wants to finish where he started, so that was good to hear.
Yeah, so it's good to have him back, man. And just for the Eagles offense, I think that moving forward for this year, like, I think that's why we just kind of let go of Golden Tate, like having him, Aguilar, Jeffrey, Goddard, and Ertz as the primary weapons. And then hopefully we're talking about earlier, man.
We looking good.
If we can pick up a back in the draft, I don't think we're going to bring back a Jai. Like, I think we'll be solid. Like, all the chips are just in one basket now with Wentz, and just moving forward will be kind of cool to see.
Cannot wait for Carson Wentz to prove people wrong.
He hasn't been on anybody's list. Like, people are talking about the top young quarterbacks, second-tier quarterbacks. It's like, everyone forgets that this guy was an MVP.
Cannot wait. Man, so, like, sorry, everybody forgets, and that's like, what, 2 years ago? 2 years removed from MVP candidate in his second year in the league. Like, that's ridiculous. And he was on pace to really start acting up in the league before that ACL injury, which was a freak accident of him actually scoring a touchdown. So
yeah, so hopefully the 2008 second round 49th pick Deshaun Jackson returning to Philly can help him out over the top. But let's get into kind of some of our basketball related topics for tonight.
Right. So first thing I wanted to say is we're doing a different, you know, style episode today. This is a kind of like an in between episode. We like to call these episodes shoot around. They're in between our episodes. We're in between episodes 10 and 11. So this is shoot around part 2, because we already did one before. We'll be doing these more often moving forward.
Yeah, and they're just kind of like a mini series for us to kind of pick the brains of our friends with phone calls, using like a thing called the Ringer app, or just general based topics about, you know, other sports, or maybe even not like deep dives into basketball, and specific topics, and just, you know, bouncing our ideas off of people and wanting to hear what the world thinks.
Yeah, so just pretty much, like he said, just anything relevant, you know, in the moment, and anything we think, you know, the culture would like talking about, and something, you know, really popping, and trying to keep you guys in touch of what we, you know, what we think about certain situations and what our friends do as well. So today we have Ryan Callahan coming on later, and we'll talk about that more later. But just to get into some, you know, general topics of, you know, what's going on right now around the NBA. Jeannie Buss, they said she was exploring trading LeBron. Like,
yeah, there's been a lot of Jeannie Buss in the news the past 2 days. So that was yesterday, and then today there was also the thing with the forum. So I guess we'll start from the trading LeBron part. So who reported that? Because we talked about it on
Instagram. Rick Bucher was the one that reported it, that, you know, she explored trading him because Rich Paul, you know, leaked the news about, you know,
trying to obtain AD, and kind of just took the role as the GM, but also as
LeBron's agent. And made everything public, and that's kind of not how the Lakers wanted, I guess. Now, how she wanted it to be ran. So
yeah, I think that's just hindsight, though, because if it would have worked, you know, like, I don't think we hear anything about this, and Rich Paul is kind of the hero. Yeah,
hindsight, but she was trying to get all of Clutch Sports out of there. So
I thought about this earlier. Do you think Pelinka and Magic are kind of bad GMs, and they're kind of just running the team poorly?
So I wouldn't say bad, but I don't think they're elite.
Bad president.
Right? I don't think they're elite. I don't think they're the Daryl Morey's, or, you know, Danny Ainge. I don't, you know what I mean? I don't see them on that level.
Then I think Jerry West in their own in their own building. I'm taking Jerry over Magic.
He turned the Clippers around. He has the Clippers going crazy right now. And he
helped with the Warriors.
Like, you know what I mean? So I don't think Magic or and Robert are necessarily. I think they're, you know, they're big names, obviously, but there's a lot of guys that you look back on, the Julius Randles, the Lou Williams, they let go. They let go of D'Angelo Russell. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a couple of guys they, you know, moved on from, and some can say it's premature because, you know, they got young guys now, and are they really going to be better than the D'Angelo Russells, the Julius Randles, and the, you know what I mean? So it's...
So explain to me the thought process again, because we talked about it, I think, two podcasts ago about how you think it was more of them than LeBron's doing just with the current roster standing. Like, but I just, sometimes I just find it hard to believe that, like, some guys that played, like, Magic who played basketball, like, would trade a guy like Zubac away or want a guy like Stevenson and McGee. Right. And I know it's they're just one-year deals and it's kind of just like a temporary Band-Aid thing, but even for next year, like, you have to fill that roster out if you trade for AD.
Right.
And there's got to be other guys. Like, you can't, it can't just be AD, LeBron, and who's the guy that played the night that had 60 game high that Shaq was just giving out? Yeah, Alex Caruso. Like, it can't be those guys that are gunning for a championship. Like, you still have to have somewhat of a bench. LeBron's 38, going to be 39.
Right, and they got no shooting.
Yeah.
You know, they Muscala's aim to go get defenders, but they're one of the worst defensive teams in the league. And that could be, big part of that could be because Lonzo Ball being out, he was playing such a great defense to start the year.
I can't put that much of
it. You can't, yeah, of course not. But I mean, part of it, I'm saying. You got to give at least a part of it. But I just think it was interesting, you know, LeBron being LeBron, the face of the league for so long, and just thinking that up there in the offices, they were really looking to, you know, move him and get just cut ties from Clutch Sports. Like,
so, all right, so what do you think you would get for LeBron? Like, if you were looking to trade LeBron, you're the Lakers GM right now, how would you, who would you try to obtain? And what
I
would
mean,
be,
though,
would
there's only a couple guys I would let him go. Who?
Yeah.
I mean, I'd let him go for KD. You agree? Obviously. I don't know.
But the so it wouldn't just be KD and LeBron straight up, like
I'm who, saying. But if
what, well, what would you be willing to give? Like, would you be willing to give LeBron and Kuzma?
Around,
or would you,
the deal centered around me getting KD and losing LeBron in return, like me getting KD in return and LeBron shipping LeBron, I'm with it. Like,
KD and Kuzma for LeBron, you would be down for that?
KD and Kuzma,
yeah.
You mean LeBron and Kuzma for KD?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But okay. That, I mean, it would be more. It would be a lot more.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if that matches up.
The way I've been looking at Kuzma, the way I've been looking at Kuzma too. I'm not gonna kill him or whatever. I mean, I felt Kuz was much better than he is. I think personally. And I mean, he's still young. He's relatively young. I believe he's like 23, 24.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was a three year college player. So a 2 or 3 years. Well, how long was he at Utah?
I thought he was there all 4 at Utah.
No, he wasn't there 4. I can look it up right now. He stayed for a while. Lee, do you know how long Kuz was at?
So also with us here, he's hanging all 4 out. Years? Our guy Southside.
Yeah, so he was there all 4 years. Yes, shout out Lee Wise with the, you know, with the wise information. See what I did there? But
yeah, he was at Utah for 4 years.
Yeah, he's a 4 year player. So you kind of know what he's going to be coming into the league. Not saying this is his he's peaking or, but he's closer to his peak than, you know, a different type of young guy. So yeah,
turns 24 on July 24th.
I mean, the Warriors ain't doing it anyway, but. Yeah, I'm doing it.
Okay.
Definitely doing it. I would move him for Kawhi. Kawhi's 27, probably the best two-way player in the league, him and Paul George right now.
Agreed.
I would move him for Giannis. Move for Giannis, definitely. I move for Harden.
Do you think other teams were seriously considering?
No,
That's the kind of thing. So is LeBron even tradable, I guess, is the better question.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he's definitely tradable because teams will throw packages together, but...
So if you're a mid-level team, like
the, it all comes down like to the Nets,
like if you're the Nets, who would you be willing to?
I mean, you got to throw up like three, four assets and plus draft picks.
Would you
for
blow
LeBron.
Up your team just to try to get LeBron? Yeah, no, that's what I'm
but
saying.
But that's like, from
is it even possible? So it kind of
so
sucks.
Saying,
like,
okay, I see what you're saying. I see the angle you're taking. Yeah, that was I don't know. That was something that just like caught my eye because I'm like. LeBron being traded, like you're willingly giving up LeBron James, like that's crazy. Like first Kyrie left him, now people talking about willingly leaving him. That's crazy. I don't know, that was kind of crazy to me.
So before you get to the next topic, I kind of wanted to talk about just the middle of the Western Conference right now is just really jammed up at the 3, 4, and 5 spots, with the Rockets being at 42-26, Portland at 41-26, and then OKC with the loss tonight to Indiana, dropping to 42-27. We talked a little bit earlier when you and I were going back and forth, and depending on how that pans out, that will kind of dictate how tired the Warriors will be for the finals. So what are your thoughts on how that kind of shakes out right now? Who's going to land in 3, 4, and 5? And then I guess for why? And I can kind of just give you some of the schedules for those teams. And so right now, just to review again, the Rockets are in the third seed at 42-26.
Okay.
Portland's in the 4 seed at 41-26.
Because you know they've been moving around like every night.
So. Yeah, and OKC is at 42-27.
I mean, it's just like the East, too. How tight it is with the Pacers, Sixers, and Celtics. But I don't know. I think Houston stays at that 3.
Yeah, I agree.
You agree? I don't know. I just feel like they're playing a different type level of basketball right now.
Before last night, they were 9-1. Before that Warriors win, which was a close game all night, they've been balling.
They look like Houston from last year, but like with different type dimensions. Like, it's kind of crazy. I look at Houston, I always see, what's his name? Dude with all the crazy sneakers. Tucker. PJ Tucker?
Yeah.
And he's like Draymond without all the antics.
Yeah.
Like, and that's why they got him. You know what I mean? And I like Draymond. Like, I respect the way he stood for, like, as far as like being the emotional leader in Warriors. But all that shit gets annoying, right? But PJ Tucker is like all in for the team. He's not really worried about, you know, who's really seeing him. And he's like that dude that
does. And it helps when you're hitting shots.
And like, he's deadly at the corner. He can really knock down a corner three. So I don't know. I look at him like as a Draymond, you know, without the antics. Like, I look, the Warriors might, like, you know, move on for Draymond. Say, I'm not saying they get PJ Tucker, but a guy like PJ Tucker will be another good fit, you know, for the Warriors, because you see Draymond's body kind of breaking down a little bit. But yeah, 3. I think Houston, you know, stays at 3.
Yeah, and they would just have to go like, because in their last 14 games, they would just have to go like 9-5, and their schedule's really, I'm looking at their schedule now, they have teams like Phoenix, Minnesota, Atlanta.
Yeah, I mean, it tells
New
you
how, York.
How many 500 teams, does it say? Because usually it says.
Not on the schedule. I mean, I can kind of just assume by looking, but they only have a one tough 4-game stretch with Milwaukee, Denver, and then Sacramento back to back.
Yeah,
and then
after that, I'd have to look at, you know, OKC and Portland schedules, but I would just say OKC 4, Portland 5, just off of. Like I always say about OKC, they got two superstars that like superstars, and they lock up on defense. They play defense in the second half of games. Portland is good. They have actually a better team makeup than years past, but
I don't know. I think OKC
wins. Let me finish. I think OKC wins more games, obviously, to stay at the 4th spot. Go ahead.
And so I just wanted to kind of give you the caveat before you made your prediction, because OKC, their schedule is, compared to Portland, they have Golden State, Indiana, Denver, Milwaukee, Houston, Toronto twice. Like, and then compared to Portland, like, I think Portland has a lot of teams below 500 or like fringe bubble teams. I can kind of just rattle off, but
right.
I don't think OKC really gets through that cleanly. I think that's kind of just a 500 schedule to close. So it's just, and they lost tonight to Indiana, so that just is going to just keep them solid in that 5th spot, I think, to close the year out. But as we said earlier, this is a shoot around, so we're not going to go back and forth too much. We do have a guest, our inaugural guest, actually, for the first time for TNT Hoops. It's a friend of Quiddy, so I'm going to let him lead it in.
Yeah, so like Ansel said, the first person we decided to bring in is my friend Ryan Callahan. He was a roommate of mine, really good friend, brother from another. Ryan played basketball at the Sales with me. He was a hell of a basketball player. He played baseball too. He was 4th all time in block shots, and he was 3rd all time in field goal percentage. So my boy was efficient. Yeah, you know, I was throwing him lobs. We called it Live Valley. Shout out Cali, you know, get up Cali, you know how it goes. So like I said, bringing in Ryan Callahan without any further ado.
All right, so on the line we have Ryan Callahan, ex-teammate of Quiddy's, up at the Sales, and we just kind of wanted to check in with him, ask him a couple questions about the state of basketball and college and the NBA.
Let's get after it.
Callie, what's good? How are you? How are you doing?
I'm good, boys. Thanks for having me on. I'm glad I could be a part of it. And kind of nervous right now. Is that normal?
Nah, man. Nothing to be about.
The first time, I guess.
Let's get into it.
All right. Well, let's talk basketball then.
Yeah, let's get into it, Quiddy. So I guess the first question that Quiddy and I kind of want to just ask you, I guess what are we, 68 games in? Around 68 games right now. And we wanted to think, who is the most improved, or just a group of guys you would think are the most improved guys this year?
I mean, I think there's certainly a good handful of guys that you can consider for this. There's two in particular that come to mind for me, and it's Pascal Siakam and De'Aaron Fox.
I like those.
I think just considering the success of both of their teams. I mean, obviously Toronto is the 2 seed in the East. And he stepped up in a really big way in Siakam. And then I don't think anyone was really expecting the Kings to take, you know, the type of step that they've taken this year. I know they're only a 500 club right now, but I think you'd both agree that that's better than we were all expecting.
Definitely.
This year for them.
Definitely.
And it's greatly in due to, you know, his ability to run that team and kind of be the leader out there for them and the floor general. And then beyond further from that, I mean, their numbers are just greatly improved. I was going through it a little earlier. I mean, Siakam literally from last year at 7 points a game to this year at 16.
As well as
his percentages. I mean, he was shooting 22% from three last year, and this year he's at 36.
I
would personally put him as my favorite.
As Sixers fans, we hate it, but he, you know, Siakam went to those Rico Hines runs in LA this summer. He got his game up crazy. He's definitely one of the most improved guys in the league, man. I hate seeing him with alongside Kawhi. And I definitely agree with De'Aaron Fox. I mean, like he said.
Wait, why do you hate seeing him along Kawhi? I feel like that's a kind of perfect pairing.
I'm a Sixers fan, and they play on the Raptors.
Obviously,
they're great together. I'm a Sixers fan. And like I was saying about Fox, De'Aaron Fox, like, the Kings have clearly exceeded expectations. Nobody thought they'd be where they are right now. So I think he's leading that team. Was a second-year player, 19, 20 years old. I definitely agree with that. So second question. No, go ahead. You want to say something else about that?
Okay. I was just gonna add on that.
Stop interrupting my man.
I think it's kind of inevitable that Kawhi is. I don't know. This is just how I feel. I don't think any of us can get a real feeling on Kawhi because he's not one to really open up to any of us.
Man.
But I feel like the arrival of Siakam this year makes it easier for the blow they're gonna take this offseason with Kawhi.
Is he 100% gone?
I mean, I feel like he's not coming back to Toronto. I don't know. It just seems like he's someone that only cares about. This is my read on him. He wants to go where he's going to be most comfortable. He hasn't personally, to me, looked comfortable anywhere. I don't know if he's ever going to look that way to any of us. But if he does, it's going to be like in LA. It just feels right with the Clippers with him. He won't be in the big spotlight of having to play for the Lakers, but he'll be home. He'll be in LA. And I mean, the Clips, the moves they've been making to open up all this cap space. It just seems to make
really
sense.
Not a bad basketball spot. Either with like Shamit, SGA.
Right. Right. And I feel like the arrival of Siakam then allows Toronto to be like, all right, well, you arrived this year. You're going to take even a bigger load next year and pause. You're going to take even a bigger load next year. and they can go from there. I mean, they'll still be a top 4 or 5 team in the East, I think, even if they lose Kawhi, because they just have
see Siakam as that kind of guy, though, to be the number one option for a team on a
night-to-night
basis.
I'm not necessarily saying he's going to be the number one option. I just think, I mean, his efficiency this year.
He can start to grow into that.
Yeah, he could. I mean, if you think about it, he's averaging 16, 17 a game this year. Kawhi goes away. I mean, that's probably going to jump to like 20 next year, just with the natural amount of touches he's going to get. But that was just kind of my feeling with that, is that his arrival this year will make the blow a lot easier of losing Kawhi if that's the case. And Toronto can still stay relevant
for I like years that. To I come. Like that a lot. So Siakam and De'Aaron Fox, two great picks. So the second question we wanted to get into, the Warriors. Obviously, we've seen they've been a dynasty for the last 4 or 5 years here. How do you think I know they look a little bit more vulnerable than they have in the past. So how do you think, what do you think the best possible way to beat this team is currently constructed? You know, a Boogie at the five now and a little bit of a lesser bench. How do you think, you know, you'll go about beating this team, and who can beat them if anybody has a shot?
All right. So I put together a quick list of things that need to be done to defeat the Golden State Warriors. Like that.
Well prepared, Ryan. Good for you.
So, it's not going to be easy, gentlemen. It's going to be a difficult task. But here's what I got. At least for – this is me, you know, thinking ahead to the Western Conference side of the playoffs. The team that's going to beat them, they have to be playing their best basketball of the season. I think that's kind of obvious.
Love that insight.
They have to be – they're going to have to be healthy. And I know that seems obvious too, but in the years past, there's no doubt that the Warriors would have lost if the teams they were playing were fully healthy. And you can just look to last year and see when Chris Paul went down, that kind of shook that whole series. Houston was in the driver's seat. And
I'm one of those people that disagree with that, Ryan. Like, I understand Houston was in the driver's seat, but at the same time, like, what it takes away from Golden State and what they've done the past 3 years to say they wouldn't have won that game seven, you know, like, I just because Chris Paul would have been there.
Yeah, game six.
I mean, they were up three games, weren't they? Weren't the Rockets up three games?
Game six was in Houston. Game seven was in Golden State.
Three games
in
two before.
No, my bad. Game six was in Golden State. Game seven was in Houston because Houston was a one seed last year, right? Correct? Pretty sure Houston. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Correct.
Yes.
I don't know. That's just how that was just like my personal feeling of how the series was swaying. Like the Rockets were playing at their absolute best, and the Warriors. I don't know. I don't know, man. It's just. That's
so coming back as kind of an aside for that, then how do you think the Warriors or the Rockets rather have kind of changed this year to maybe forego an injury that happens to one of their key guys? Well, obviously, if Harden gets hurt, they don't have a chance. But if Chris Paul were to go down again, as we've seen before, do you think
they
would still have a chance, or is it just completely over? Because they have kind of revamped their team a little bit.
Because, I mean,
you got to ask.
This has been the story of the Rockets season is – James Harden is taking over. He's carrying this team. But the consensus has been this style of basketball is not going to win come postseason time. So when you take away Chris Paul from that even equation, it just seems like it's just not going to work, man. It's just not the way the game's played. It's not how it's won in the postseason.
How do you think Harden sustains this in the playoffs, given that they're both healthy? Like, how do you think his game translates this year? In recent years, it hasn't been up to par.
It's the only thing we can say is that this is the best year he's been having. I mean, in years past, obviously last year he won the MVP, but it didn't totally translate last year. I mean, what are we to do to say that, you know, this will be the year? I mean, we can sit here and speculate, but until we see it, I feel like there's not much we can really dive into there. Like, he either shows up, he brings it, or he doesn't. Yep. And he either shows up, he gets those foul calls that he's used to drawing, or he doesn't get them. Like, it's just, that's playoff basketball. So, I kind of dove away from my points. I said my next point was you got to pray to God. And in the case of the Western Conference, you have to be named the Houston
Thunder,
Rockets.
No shot.
Listen, if it's not the Houston Rockets, I just feel like it's not going to happen as far as the other top teams there. It's Thunder. It's Thunder, Rockets, and Nuggets. And I just haven't seen enough
from the Nuggets
on
a
big stage.
Shot of any top team.
Absolutely. I just feel like, you know, which is funny because they're like young and inexperienced, but they're playing really good basketball. And it's like the same story for the Bucks right now.
Yes.
But I'm taking the Bucks like 10 times out of 10 over them because – this is getting a little off topic.
One guy can change everything.
Yeah, I just feel like those two teams have been hot all year. And I feel like the feeling kind of all year has also been the all Nuggets, but once they get the playoffs, what, maybe they'll make it to the second round? Like, that's just kind of been the feeling for the Nuggets and Bucks for me.
But now,
the last few weeks, the Bucks have really, I'm sorry, I'm getting a little off, but I'm a believer in the Bucks. I'll say that.
So can I ask you a question as a Sixers fan, though? Do you think we fare better off against the Bucks or Toronto if we had to meet one of those in the Eastern Conference Finals?
Honestly, I would think anyone would be better off against Toronto right now, given their track record.
I'm saying for as a Sixers, like, who would we rather want to play?
If you're a Sixers fan, you want to play Toronto. I think there's no doubt. Really? For that, I think you look past all the inexperience of the Bucks, and you just see how complete they are. They are a well-oiled machine right now, and I would be scared to be any team in the NBA to see the Bucks in the playoffs. And that's my opinion. That has changed like the last few weeks. From like,
it was crazy. Giannis, they just surround them with shooters, and their formula is just, we're gonna let him get off, go to the rim, draw two, three guys and kick it out. And they got all shooters around. They got Brook Lopez. Saw he's hit over 153 this year. You got, you know, Brogdon playing great ball on both ends. So, I mean, the Bucks are for real.
Yeah.
As a Sixers fan, I'd much rather face the Bucks though, just because I think mm-hmm. Toronto might be a little bit deeper if they are deeper. And I think Toronto has more guys that can score, you know, 15 to 20 points. And the Bucks are kind of, you know, one man dominant. Sometimes, you know, they get one man dominant and have Giannis doing, you know, put a little bit too much load on Giannis. So, I mean, as a Sixers fan, I'd rather face.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So who would you have Embiid guard? Because Brook Lopez is stretched all the way out to the corner most times. So, and you're not going to have Embiid that far away from the basket. So, like what are kind of our matchups? Right.
They're the big time they put their pitch.
It's weird just because given Giannis their length.
And play, like, Brook Lopez on the floor at one time. Like 10 as well. But, I mean, I guess you just have to put Embiid on the big guy. I mean, it is what it is. You just got to trust him to be able to roam. But who you can't put him on Giannis. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that frees the rim because then Giannis kind of kills us at the rim all night if Embiid's all the way to the 3-point line just guarding Brook Lopez. I don't know. It's just kind of a weird scenario, I guess, is what I'm thinking.
Trust the process.
I was just saying from your perspective as Sixers fans, and I've grown to like the Sixers too, but I. Yeah, I think you just have to consider as well. I know they have Giannis. Like,
right.
He's possibly the MVP this year, and come playoff time, having that guy is also a big part of winning. So I don't know. Compared to the Raptors, I know they have Kawhi. He's not really playing at like an MVP level, I would say, this year. But, yeah, it's just, you know.
Yeah. It's just the depth. But – moving on to our next question, we kind of wanted to just get your insight on the state of the NBA. And that's kind of a general question, I know. But it is noted as kind of, I think, in my opinion, and I think others, the best league in American sports right now. But there are mm-hmm. some things that I think that it can improve upon. One of those things that I thought of earlier just is kind of how much access that the fans and players have to one another. And not even just the Russ situation last night, but just kind of how, like, on a day-to-day basis, players seem like they're on
a basically just the social media aspect. Kind of
is that starting to become bad for the NBA, whereas maybe 2 or 3 years ago it was awesome and NBA Twitter started to explode. Just kind of, what do you think of that?
I mean, social media itself is its own world, and how you decide to use it is totally up to you. And it's totally in your power and in your hands, whether you want to use that in a positive way or a negative way. I think we can agree that there's no getting away from the negative trolls of the internet, and you can either give in and respond to those people and interact with those people. And
yeah,
honestly, that's never going to work out for you. Or you can just, you know, be an adult, be a bigger person and look past it. I'm not saying this as advice to those face-to-face interactions and the in-arena stuff that happens. Strictly social media, I think, you know, there's a it's I'm not going to say it's easy to look, it's not going to be easy to always look past those things, but as a professional and knowing the best interest of your own self and your own life, I don't see how you could really, you know, why give into that? Why give into the trolls? And the
from another perspective, though, like for a lot of these guys, like they've been locked in gyms almost their whole lives, and they don't really grow into the social aspect as regular people do on a day-to-day basis. Sometimes all they have is social media, is kind of just how I think of it sometimes. So maybe it's more of them not knowing how to handle all this, because you go from getting a good amount of attention in high school, and then in college, if you're not one of those top 5 or 10 lottery picks, you go from that to the NBA, where it's just an exorbitant amount of just information, it's like people commenting on every action. So I guess these maybe people really don't react to that. I don't know. Quitty, what do you think?
They don't really know much. I mean, if you're a top flight dude, like you're one of the McDonald's All-Americans or whatever, like you grow up and you're on to what, say, social media, and like that's all you know. You don't have, like, you didn't go out and socialize because you probably were always in the gym. Like, you're special. You're in the NBA for a reason. So, like, I think some of these guys, they just have such a hard time, you know, staying off and seeing, you know, what these trolls are saying. Like, you see, you know, the biggest names in the NBA, Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, they really let these people affect them. And it's just like, that's the only way they really know how to socialize with the outside world. So, I mean, I think it's kind of your decision how you know, handle your social media and how you put yourself out there. You can't let all the negative stuff affect you, like you guys kind of touched on before. And we kind of, like, I wanted to know this, what you think about this too, Ryan, like, and because Ansu kind of said it to start in popular, in like comparison to other sports, like how popular do you think basketball is? Like, obviously, like, for me personally, I think baseball, I used to love baseball, but it was kind of tailing off to me because I'm a big Phillies fan and, you know, they haven't been as great. But just, you know, the speed of the game is kind of slow. We see basketball's fast pace, but then football may be too violent. So, like, what do you think, or where do you think, you know, basketball or the NBA, you know, falls with the four major sports right now in terms of, like, popping?
I would absolutely agree that it's the most popular sport in America right now. And I think social media has also played a huge part in that. And maybe I'm biased right now because I've been working there for a year and a half and I literally work in the social media department. But to see, you know, what the NBA is doing on social media versus all the other major sports, it's just like, it feels like we're above and beyond everyone else. Cause every night, I mean, you see, if you guys follow the page, we have 30 million followers,
hundreds of highlights almost, like almost
overall. And yeah, like we will tweet out like 200 things a day, and every game we're pushing out highlight packages.
There's so much
of this guy on the winning team, on someone on the losing team that had 40 points, and like, the highlights and the things that happen within a 48-minute game, there's so many more highlights than there is in a 3-hour baseball game, in even a 3-hour football game. There's a football game. How much action we get in a football game? We get 120 plays maybe, and it's just like,
yeah, 6 or 7 of them are big plays.
How many of those are just like 2 or 3 yard runs or something like that? You know, and it feels like every possession. It feels like if you turn on a Warriors Lakers game or you turn on a Rockets Sixers game, like you're going to have 8 to 10 plays you're talking about from that game every night. And that's just, I mean, that's a credit to the athletes and the, you know, that are playing in the NBA, which personally I think are the best athletes in the world. They're the biggest humans doing the most athletic things that we see in sports. And that's exciting for people. And then we have our social media department, you know, putting together these high end, like, mixtape highlight cuts. I mean, basketball is the coolest thing that you can put together in a video versus all the other sports. Like, you can mash it up.
Let me ask you a question. About how long would it take you to put together, like, maybe D Wade's retirement video that you did earlier this year? Like, about how long does that take you on on a day-to-day, night-to-day basis? Is that a whole day thing, so, 15, 20 minutes?
I mean, so which one are you referring to? Like, I did his best dunks of his career, like something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, first we have a giant, like, archive that dives into everything D-Wade. So I had to look up all his best dunks. And that alone is, like, yeah, it takes weeks. It takes multiple shifts, like 8-hour shifts of digging through like all his games where he had dunks and selecting which ones are the best ones. I mean, the process of the whole video is like 3 weeks of working. Wow. And then once you find it, you know, finding a good song and then putting it together in a creative way that has the dunks like banging on the beats and going stuff to like the that.
Beat,
so
yeah.
Yeah, so it's like pleasing to the eye and the ear. So, yeah, I mean, it's not like I'm in there for 3 weeks straight, right, 8 hours every day doing that. But over the course of three.
So our apologies right there. The audio began to cut out a little bit due to some technical difficulties from the app that we're using to host the conference call. However, we would like to thank Ryan once again for coming in to TNT Hoops. We're going to give him a chance to kind of plug some of his stuff at the end for the last little clean part of the audio that we have. And then we'll close you guys out with just some updates on the content that we'll be putting out within the next couple of weeks. Once again, thanks for bearing with us through the technical difficulties, and hopefully it'll be cleaned up by the next one.
Yeah, Ryan, plug your shit. Plug your Twitch. You got a Twitch channel or something that you want to plug?
Yeah, I got a couple things, you know, Instagram, Twitter, Ryan Callahan 13. Y'all can see my, I repost a lot of my work that y'all get on the NBA pages. Just got a new piece that was put out, a little Allen Iverson, Lou Williams piece that I put together for Lou Will taking over the top spot on the bench scoring list.
Yes, sir.
So you'll get to see all my great work. And support me, and I will follow back and support you on your road to greatness as well. All right, y'all. Right, good luck with the show, man. I really appreciate it, y'all.
Once again, to reiterate what Quiddy said at the beginning of the pod, these TNT shoot-around episodes are an opportunity for us to kind of just get a different outlook and take on some of the NBA news and topics from people that we know, are fans of the NBA and basketball in general. We look forward to just kind of taking your ideas and the reviews from the listeners to mold the shoot arounds to something that just are unique and interesting and separate from the pod on a week-to-week basis. Once again, thank you for listening to TNT Hoops. Cannot wait to get some more audio out for you guys.
Love. 6 million ways to mob, choose one.
Something in the water. Something about the whispers. Hey, you can't imagine the way that this cash feeling. Don't know what's harder, the first or the last million.